98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Everything you need to know all in one spot every day. It is the 4 o'clock reset. We hit the reset button, get you caught up on the very latest going on in sports, including our reaction to it. Christian Kirk was added to the Cardinals injury report today, but there was a very good reason for it. He was leaving the team's facility about 3:45 yesterday, was merging on the freeway. He got rear-ended.
Oh, man.
Do you have the cut for me? Would you play that cut for me?
Yeah, everything's fine. I leaving the facility yesterday, was getting on the freeway and actually got rear-ended. So I was in a pretty bad car accident. Car was totaled. And so they helped me out today just for precautionary reasons. Everything's all good. So I'll be back at practice tomorrow and ready to finish up the week.
So he should be fine for the game, but he had to miss practice today because he was a little sore after getting rear-ended.
Thanks to whoever that was that doesn't know how to drive. Appreciate it. A wide receiver's out now because you don't know how to drive. Stop texting! Rear-end somebody. 90% of the people that rear-end somebody. No, I got the thing now. I could do it on my car.
I'm saying, man, this is the pot calling the kettle black right here. I've carpooled with you, brother.
Yeah, but I got the thing now where you could just like do it over the speakers.
Hello, pot? It's kettle. You're black.
Oh, yeah. Man. I rear-ended Christian Kirk. Probably text messaging somebody.
You know how bad that person would feel if they cost Christian Kirk a game? Right?
Right.
Christian Kirk's not playing this week because you rear-ended them on the 101.
Right. There's a good chance that person may not even know who he is.
probably not. Probably just some guy that they thought they rear-ended.
It'd be really
right?
bad if they were like downloading the Arizona Sports app, and that's how it happened.
You know what? We highly recommend you downloading the Arizona Sports app. We do not want you doing it
while
you're driving the car.
Some guy in Colorado just tweeted us.
Don't.
Just downloaded the app from Colorado.
Just hopefully not while he was driving the car. Fitz was limited in practice today. Dennis Gardeck did not practice. Olsen Pierre did not practice. But again, we heard yesterday that Larry Fitzgerald will play against the Bears. He just hasn't been practicing. They kind of want to save him. Thursday night football tonight. And how about this? For the first time in a long time, the Browns are a favorite at home.
The first 18 games, right?
The first time they have been home favorites since being favored to beat the 49ers week 14 of the 2015 season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets.
Crazy.
I would have loved this game. I would have loved this game if it was Baker Mayfield against Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
I would have loved it. I mean, I would have been like, oh, that would have been fantastic. Or I might have watched Goodfellas again.
like you did last night.
Browns have not won a game yet. They cut their kicker, Zane Gonzalez, this week, the former ASU stud, because of all the field goals he's missed. By the way, I think the Cardinals should sign Zane Gonzalez and put him on the practice squad.
You have said that for a few
days.
His
coach in Cleveland is Famous Amos, the special teams coach that was here. He was terrible.
Diana Rossini on her Twitter account.
Diana Rossini.
Just tweeted out the Jets team message was, quote, "We don't want to be the ones who lose to the Browns," close quote.
The Jets team message, "We don't want to be the ones to lose to the Browns."
We don't want to be the ones to lose to the Browns.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Inspirational words, to say the least. So that's Thursday night football.
Diana Rossini, born in the Bronx.
That's Thursday night football coming up tonight. But our top story of the day doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen tonight, because the Diamondbacks are off tonight. It is a pondering of the question, if it worked so well last night, why won't Torey Lovello again go to the B squad, the Reno Aces, as they were calling themselves last night, the Christian Walkers and the Ildemaro Vargases and the
Baby Backs.
That name's already been taken. Oh, that name's got a very special place
in
the
history. Reno Aces? Listen, that was, and I told you last night, I got home last night and I was like, I watched Goodfellas.
You didn't watch the D-backs game?
I mean, I watched some of it when I got home. It was on. And I think I saw the Walker home run, and then I was like, I don't want to watch this whole game. And Goodfellas was on. I watched Goodfellas. So I watched, that's what I watch. But then, of course, I went back on Major League MLB at Bat app that you have, and I just saw all the highlights and everything. So I watched most of it afterwards. Listen, there's a reason to go back to that squad, because they killed it for you, man. You reward them. Reward them again. Hey, I'm going to reward you guys again. Those guys were probably jacked up, pumped up. Here's our opportunity. We get a chance now. They took advantage of it. So you like that. Plus, you may want to see what you happen next year. Let me give you an example. This Christian Walker kid, who when he hits a ball, like, it goes really, really far.
Yes.
Okay? Like, I checked in with Torey Lovullo today, and I was like, what's the ceiling for him? He's like, man, he could absolutely be our backup first baseman and left fielder next year. Now, he's past that prospect age, because he's like 27. So he's past the age, and he'll be 28 by the time next season starts. So he's not in that 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old, I'm a prospect.
Right.
He was with the Orioles for a couple of years. But I loved that guy's swing. And he's not, is that, he doesn't hit for average, but man, he's got a lot of
raw power.
Raw power off the bat. So to me, I asked Torey this morning, is there any backup first base, backup left fielder? So that's why I want some of these young kids to play. Let's see if you have something in them.
Yeah, if you missed it, and by now I think you probably saw, the Diamondbacks avoided the sweep against the Cubs, starting a lineup that had no Goldschmidt, no Peralta, no Pollock, no Eduardo Escobar, arguably their four best players, and instead featured Christian Walker, and it featured Patrick Kivlahan, and it featured Chris Owings, Ildemar Vargas. It featured a lineup that called themselves the B Squad, the Reno Aces. Mark Grace today on the Doug and Wolf show was asked, and this is why we love Grace, was asked point blank, did that lineup send a message to the four guys who were benched? And in pure Grace,
I'm an old ball player, and We're not the smartest guys in the world, but we're smart enough to know that a message is being sent right here.
Right.
And I would imagine Goldie probably went and said, you know what? See that lineup right there? That lineup right there ain't nothing but the damn truth. And you know, I don't think a whole lot really needed to be said, guys.
Right.
I think
so it was that obvious.
The lineup makes its own statement.
I wonder if Goldie looked at that lineup and said, that lineup's the damn truth. That's the truth. I deserve to not be on that lineup, or I need to not be on that lineup, or those guys need to be there and I don't. I wonder how all four of those guys individually reacted when they saw their name wasn't in the lineup and they saw what lineup was posted.
I think it's a killing two birds with one stone thing. One, I want to get these guys in the game, okay? They've been here. They should be rewarded. Let's give them a chance to play. But it's also like, all right, these other guys have been going 100 miles an hour all season long, and it's time to just decompress right now. Hey, it's over. It's over. Fight's over. Okay? That's it. Sit back, relax, take a deep breath. Like, because they've been going 100 miles an hour trying to keep this team in the pennant race. They have. Like, you can't say that they've failed. But you can't tell me that these guys quit. You can't tell me that these guys didn't try. They just got beat. Okay, they ran out of gas. But they did try. They never quit. So they've been going so hard for so long. And it's almost like, okay, I'm gonna take you guys out. This is it. Signifies the end, but it's also relax, chill, take a deep breath, sit back, enjoy the game. You know, don't mentally take a mental break, take a physical break, let these other guys play. So I do think it was part getting the other guys in, but part stopping these guys from going 100 miles an hour.
Wasn't part of it too, hey, you guys aren't playing with the requisite amount of energy. I want to see if these guys will.
I mean,
not you're tired, you need a rest, but I'm going to bench you for a night to see if these guys can bring something to the table that you have not for the last 3 weeks. Not so much a, hey, we're done, we didn't make it, white flag, season's over.
Do you think it's more that?
I mean,
as loyal as Lovullo has been, do I think he was benching all of those players? You suck and you suck.
Well,
you
it's never like that. See, it's never extreme like that, but is it I'm going to roll the dice, I'm going to take a chance, and I'm going to see if Patrick Kivlahan, Christian Walker, and Ildemar Vargas
can light a fire,
can bring something spark to the table that these other guys have not been able to do, no matter how many times I've stuck with them. Now, is that a punishment? Is that a, you know, rubbing their nose in it and saying, ah, see, these guys, you guys weren't playing hard enough for me, I'm going to play these guys instead? No, but was it it was almost like an experiment, like a science experiment. All right, you know what? I'm going to try something. I want to see how these guys who have spent most of the year at AAA, I want to see if they play better than you for a night, if they play harder than you for a night, if they play with more energy than you for a night. I want to see. If they don't, then I'm going to look like the idiot who started Patrick Kivlahan and Ildemar Vargas instead of some of my regulars.
Don't you think in some ways those guys, hey, it's our chance. It's my opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go through the wall for right now. It's my chance.
And if you played those guys for a week,
it wouldn't be like
chances
that.
Are good you might get that kind of effort out of them one night.
Right.
The one night you did.
Right.
Because there's a reason why they've been at Reno most of the year. And I say that with all the respect in the world, but there's a reason why they're – but yeah, I do. To answer your question, I do think that was part of what Torrey was doing. You guys aren't getting it done. I want to try a little experiment here to see if these guys will, just for a night.
I just wonder if he's kicking himself for not trying that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, if he is.
I do. I wonder if I – should he have done this on September 1st, 2nd, 3rd? Because everything has been such a battle right now.
Yeah.
He might have got clobbered. You're playing who? Against the Braves? The Dodgers? The Rockies?
He got clobbered last night in Milwaukee. I was listening to Bickley earlier. He was saying that on social media in Milwaukee, people are like, what are you doing? Where's the integrity? How come you're not playing your main guys? We need you to play your main guys against the Cubs. What are you doing?
Right, and they won.
They
won.
Torrey has already said, by the way, he's not doing it tomorrow against the Rockies. That it's back to his regular lineup. Back to
Torrey,
his regular starters.
Just pitch Diekman tomorrow. Just pitch Diekman.
By doing nothing. Are the Cardinals giving a vote of confidence to one positional group in particular? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from the Auction Community Studios, we are the Burns and Gambo Show. I'm laughing because Michaela and Andy on the other side of the glass just showed me a YouTube video of the Colorado Buffaloes mascot shooting himself with the t-shirt gun in the private parts this past weekend.
No, I did not see that.
He had the t-shirt gun pointed the wrong direction.
Oh.
And he thinking he was shooting a t-shirt into the crowd, and he pulled the trigger and he...
Oh.
They had to... Well, here's the video of it right here. Oh!
Oh! Ouch.
It's the most painfully funny thing you will see all day long. I assume we're gonna tweet this out. I know this has been out there a while now. This is the first time I'm seeing it. Yeah, he thought he had the gun. He thought he had the t-shirt gun pointed out into the crowd, and he actually had it pointed at himself. So when he pulled the trigger,
I'm sure that comes with a lot of pressure.
I'm sure he lost a lot of air pressure right there.
He had to get Carter off the field.
They guarded him off the field. Yeah, they guarded him off the field. In a completely unrelated story. Sorry, that was just on my brain because I just walked out of the other room and saw that. The Arizona Cardinals did not sign a wide receiver this week.
No.
By doing nothing, have they endorsed what they have? Have they shown support in what they have by doing nothing?
Not necessarily. They're going to bring players in on a weekly basis at different positions. Just to see if somebody's a good fit. Now, they did sign a player off the Eagles practice squad this week. They did bring in Kendall Wright and other wide receivers. They're constantly looking at players. I mean, every week you try to bring in a couple of players, you have a workout. Let's see. It pushes other players. I mean, if I'm a wide receiver on this team and I see, I got Kendall Wright in. And he's actually been pretty good. He had like 60 catches last year. I think he was the only Bear receiver to have 100 yards in a game receiving last year. I have to double check, but I think so. So part of it is to push the guys that are there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't feel like, they didn't sign him, not now. So I think a lot of this is more on Bradford I know a lot of this is more on Bradford than it is the wide receivers. Because there is evidence of wide receivers being wide open and on their cuts and not the ball's not being thrown to them, it's being thrown to the guys that are covered.
Yeah.
So I do think that they are probably evaluating this, looking at this, and probably putting a lot of, they see the same things that I'm seeing, that I showed you, and they're looking at this too, and like, wow, I can't believe Sam went under when the over's available. Wow, I can't believe he went to the outside guy when the hook's wide open. Like, Sam's not making the reads, Sam's not making the progressions, and Sam's getting rid of the ball so quick, so he can't do it. Like, if you really want to get rid of the ball that quickly, it's impossible to make the reads. So something's got to give. Either Sam's got to hold on to the ball longer so he can make his reads.
Yeah.
Or like you're never going to have any, because guys are open, but by the time they get open, he's getting rid of the ball.
Now,
so
I'm not playing this to contradict you, but just to kind of present a different opinion here. Mark Schlereth, who called the game for Fox, was on Bickley and Murata, and he talked a lot about the wide receivers in that
There's
game.
Receivers not beating one-on-one coverage, guys. I'm sorry, in this league, if you can't beat one-on-one coverage, then we're going to have to find somebody who can. Mike Shanahan, when I was in Denver, used to say it all the time. If you can't beat one-on-one coverage, you got two options. You can start coaching with me or selling cars. But like right. Beyond that, if you can't beat the one-on-ones, like I can't use you. So there are plenty of opportunities where you're getting locked up one-on-one and you're not winning. And so especially in the quick passing game for Sam Bradford, I mean, what is Sam Bradford supposed to do when there is no real place to get the ball out of his hand? You hold it. You create opportunities for sacks and bad things to happen.
But to your point, okay, if he's throwing it to the wrong, what is Sam Bradford supposed to do? He's supposed to throw it to the right receiver and not be in such a rush to get the ball out of his hands. Right.
Listen, Schlereth called the game, and that's fine. And you see the game differently when you get the game film and you get to dissect each play, you know, play by play. And when you get the game film and you dissect the plays play by play, you're like, man, there's a lot out there on the field that's being missed. There is separation, I promise. And I showed you. There's separation that the receivers are getting. There's receivers that are open on the cuts, but he's not getting the ball to them, and he's making the wrong choices. So when in the regular game, and I felt the same way he did in watching the game. God, Bradford sucks. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And these wide receivers can't get open. But when you break it down and you slow it down and you look at the film, man, there are guys open. There are guys open. Sam's just not reading it, and he's not making the right decisions. And sometimes he's just getting rid of the ball so quick, so he's only making the first read. I'm dropping back, and I'm going to hit the first guy. He's not looking at the other receivers. He's only making the first read and throwing it there, whether the guy's covered or not.
Steve Wilks on Monday on Bickley and Murata said he thought the wide receivers were doing a good job.
I think the receivers, is going to be a question about our receivers. I think the receivers are doing a great job. I think Christian did some good things yesterday. You know, we got to find a way to protect in the pocket and to be able to give Sam time to be able to get the ball down the field.
And look, I'm never going to question Steve Keim has never, ever, ever been shy about bringing in bodies, bringing in guys on a Tuesday to work them out, on a Wednesday to work them out, to see if he can churn the roster, right? See if he can. He's never, and I would not expect him to turtle in this moment and run from it and not do it now too, okay? But I do think by not adding a wide receiver this week, you are silently sort of implying, we like what we have. We like what we have better. In fact, you're not silently doing it. You are saying it. I like what we have better than Eddie, because if I like Kendall Wright better, Steve Keim's history suggests he would assign Kendall Wright this week. He didn't. So he likes what they have better. The mistake that was made is not being made this week in not adding Kendall Wright. The mistake was made back in March or April during free agency in June. In not adding a higher caliber wide receiver then. Now, I'm not talking about the big money guys. You couldn't afford the big money guys. But somebody who could have been a better complementary piece, you thought you did it in Bryce Butler, and you were wrong. You cut him, right? That, to me, that's where the mistake was made.
Jarvis Landry was traded for two draft picks, a fourth rounder and a seventh rounder.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jarvis Landry. So he was traded. Wide receivers, Mike Evans got, you know, from Tampa Bay, $55 million in guaranteed money. Allen Robinson, that would have been a nice. Allen Robinson's doing really well for Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got 3 years, $42 million with $25 million guaranteed. Sammy Watkins got $30 million guaranteed. Paul Richardson got $20 million guaranteed. Danny Amendola, 2 years, $12 million, $8 million guaranteed. I'm just looking at my list of wide receivers.
Of guys you could have got to go get, yeah.
There are wide receivers that were out there that you could have went and got. I mean, there's some. Jordy Nelson got 2 years and $15 million. I mean, Michael Crabtree, 3 years, $21 million with 11 guaranteed. So there are, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Allen Hurns, there are guys that you probably could have taken a look. Now, they did draft a wide receiver this year.
Yeah.
And they did draft a wide receiver the year before.
Yeah.
So in the last 2 years, they've drafted wide receivers.
And that, too, is starting to become a little bit of a concern for me.
Well, I think Kirk will be good. I mean, I do think Kirk's going to be good.
I hope you're right, because third-round picks don't grow on trees, you know? And so far, Chad Williams has amounted to next to nothing so far. And if he was supposed to be the answer, if the belief in him was supposed to be the answer because he was a former third-round pick, that's another draft pick that you're starting to wonder about, do they have a future here in Arizona? It's way too early to make that determination now, but depending on how the season goes, if the need for a wide receiver becomes clearer and clearer, you might look at that third-round pick from a year and go, was that a good pick? Did they get the right guy? Did they get a wide receiver who can add something to the roster? And unfortunately, we've been doing that a lot with some of these draft picks lately. Well, we've been asking those questions about these draft
they
picks.
They kept him over a Bryce Butler or a Greg Little.
Yep, they did.
Who both guys who had some experience, they kept the younger guy.
Come watch the ASU-Washington game with Arizona Sports this Saturday at the Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers on Scottsdale Road, just south of the 101 in North Scottsdale. We'll be giving away ASU gear, tickets to the Oregon State game, and other great prizes from Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. It's the third week of the season. It's Sunday, Josh Rosen Day. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. And for that, we've got Andy Greenberg, second to the last day of Andy's tenure here at the station.
That's it. Yeah.
Play some music.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
We're on the road tomorrow, 83rd Avenue.
That's right.
And Deer Valley.
83rd Avenue in Deer Valley.
That's where we're going to be tomorrow.
This is the last time you get to watch me do the Twitter poll.
Exciting. What you got?
What has been the biggest surprise of the Cardinals season so far? 48% say low David Johnson usage.
It's pretty low.
28% say Sam Bradford's poor play. 15% say Buchanan and Reddick not playing. 9%, and I did the math wrong, so I'm going to fix it here, last in tackles by 17.
Last in tackles. They're dead last in the number of tackles.
They are 32nd in tackles with 89. Dallas is 31st with 106.
It's got to be David Johnson, right?
Washington's first with 163.
I was looking at something today. It was like the biggest fantasy football disappointment. It was David Johnson.
Oh, I've got some numbers that we'll I promise we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
I got some numbers that.
Oh, by the way, I think I'm playing you this week. Yeah. I looked today. I took a quick look.
All right.
Yeah.
Woo!
Think me and
side,
you,
side bet on that?
No.
No?
My team stinks. My my starting running back's out for the year.
All right.
I already lost my starting running
you're
back.
Sure.
For the whole year, my
if
starting
you're
running
sure,
back.
You don't want to have a lunch bet with chilling with Mahomes.
I lost to Maloney. Her team's terrible this week. I lost to Maloney this week.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Keep it going, baby. Keep it going.
The projection's pretty close.
Really?
I mean, I'm sure you guys still have some roster adjustments to make.
Yes.
But Gambo's actually predicted 107 to Burnsy's 112.
Come on, bet me.
No, my team's terrible.
I didn't realize we were playing each other this week. I'm going to have to spend an extra moment or two making sure I set the right lineup. So, the Chicago Bears have allowed a league-low 3 first-half points so far this year. The Arizona Cardinals have been outscored in the first half 40-0 so far in their first half.
Something's got to give.
Both of those numbers do not support the Arizona Cardinals very well. I can't imagine a world if they come out and play as poorly as they have the first two games in the first half of this Sunday's game against the Bears, that Josh Rosen does not make his Arizona Cardinals debut in the second half. I can't imagine a world where he doesn't.
The fans are going to demand it. If I'm him, I'm starting to get antsy. I'm starting to get a little ready. I could see it. My internal clock is, I'm seeing it. Cardinals offense, first game, second game. Bradford's not playing good. I'm going through the film study. I'm seeing everything he's missing. So, with all that being said, I am starting to get mentally prepared that I'm going to play really soon if I'm Josh Rosen. Mentally prepared that I'm going to play. So, not going to be a surprise when he gets called. I'd be like, oh man, where's my helmet? I got to go find my... No, he will be ready to go. And I am sure that they may be in some hints that, hey, just get yourself mentally prepared, get yourself ready, spend a little extra time because you could be close.
Yeah, it's funny that you said it that way because there was a story this morning in the Republic on AZ Central in which Steve Wilks reiterated Sam right now is the quarterback. I don't think it's just the quarterback position. He said that a couple of times. But Wilks is also making sure, according to the story, that Josh Rosen is ready, sensing what's possibly at stake Rosen politely declined an interview with AZ Central Sports on Wednesday, saying he might be available in a group setting later this week. Said, you know, I'm just knowing what could be on the line this weekend, how close he might
but
be.
But also knowing what the question's going to be.
Of course.
It's going to be all negative on Sam, and are you ready to play?
No question. And good for him for politely declining the interview because he doesn't want to say anything that's going to be cast in a negative light or paint him in a bad light or paint Sam in a bad light. So, but he's also probably politely declining to answer the question, in part because he knows it's negative, but also in part because he knows he's this close to getting in. And I'm holding my fingers about a centimeter apart. He's this close.
I'm not saying
to getting in.
He saves, if they're 0-3, I'm not saying he saves the season, but he gives the fans something to get excited about every week. Because there's going to be ups and downs, and you want to be a part of it when you see the ups.
Sure.
You want to be there with the highs. There'll be highs and lows, right? If Josh Rosen ends up playing 13 games this year, there's going to be some games where he's terrible, and there's going to be some games where he's really good. And you want to witness the games that are really good, because that will give you a glimpse into what the future may be.
Yeah, but I still like what you've said about this, and I agree. In a perfect world, I mean in a truly perfect world, Sam Bradford plays better this weekend, and Josh Rosen still doesn't play for
right.
a few weeks.
Hold him off.
In a perfect world, the offense starts to get a little bit better. The wide receivers produce a little more. You get David Johnson a little more involved, which God knows you need to do that, so that when Josh Rosen steps in to take it over, it's not such a dumpster fire, right? Because if he comes in and it's a dumpster fire, now all you're doing is putting out fires if you're Josh Rosen. You're not learning at the way or the pace that you should be because the offense is such a mess. I'd really like to see things functioning at a little bit of a higher level so that when he comes in here, he can learn how to play offense when it's running at a high level and not where it is right now. In a perfect world, Sam Bradford plays well this weekend, well enough to not make this a conversation for the next few weeks. That's ideal.
Right, but if he plays well enough in 0-3... I mean, then you start to get to the point where what's the use of playing Bradford anymore? He's not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
I mean, there is. So you do get to that point, too. I understand what you say. Listen, I would like, ideally, you know me, I like the Jared Goff situation. Let him play the last seven games. I like the Eli Manning situation. Let him play. I'll let him play half a season. I prefer not to have him play 14 games, 13 games, 12 games. I prefer to take some of those time off. Now, no, there is no exact science. Some guys it works, some guys it doesn't. Some guys come in right away, Deshaun Watson, they can light it up. And some guys can't, and some guys need time. All of these young quarterbacks, as good as Mahomes has been, 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions,
mm-hmm.
he's still learning every single week.
Oh, sure.
Okay, he's not there yet.
Sure.
Looks great, looks polished, looks unbelievable. Love to have him. He looks phenomenal. Still a lot to learn, man. Still a lot to learn for Patrick Mahomes. He's just making it happen right now because, one, he's got a good coach, he's got a system that's in place, he's got good talent around him, and a good offensive line, and now it's easy to work.
The other day had the should Josh Rosen play, should Josh Rosen not, the people's yeah, the, court.
The case against.
The case for. The case against. Thank you. That's right. The phrase I was looking for. Pete Prisco, national NFL writer, went on Bickley and Murata's show today and made the case for playing Rosen now.
To be honest with you, I would sit Bradford down. If it was me, and I'm a big believer in you always play the kid as soon as you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
but Bradford has opened up the door quicker than I think it, even they thought it would be open.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been bad, and you can't count on that.
And because, in his opinion, you can pretty much rule out the Cardinals as a playoff team now.
They thought they would maybe be a team that could sneak in for a wild card spot, and that's not happening. So I'm a big believer, and once you realize that, then you got to get on with it and play Josh Rosen.
And there's a lot of logic to that.
Give me one more game before I throw in that towel that the season's over. As bad as they looked, in the statistic you brought up yesterday, teams that are historically this bad through two games average 3.3 wins. No teams won more than 8 games.
Yeah.
So, based on what they've done performance-wise, yards, points in the first two games, I get it. Man, I I'm looking at a team with Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, an offensive line that has DJ Humphries and Mike Iupati and Justin Pugh, and I'm looking at a defense that has Patrick Peterson and Buda Baker, and I don't get it. I mean, I don't.
You're just not ready yet. You're just not ready to say. I get that.
I don't get it. I don't understand Chandler Jones.
I don't understand how they're this bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll give it one more game. And if they're that bad, then on Monday I'll completely agree with everything everybody's saying. But for now, I still think they've got a chance to beat the Bears on Sunday.
Join Bickley and Murata tomorrow, the grand opening of the new AT&T store on the corner of Gilbert, Nocatillo, and Chandler. You're going to have the chance to win D-backs tickets to the final weekend homestand of the season and more. You can check out the new iPhone 10 as well. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com. For more details, Jimmy Butler has made his demands known, and in more ways than one, it could be awful for the Suns if he gets what he wants. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. This isn't exactly the news Suns fans wanted to hear. Adrian Wojnarowski on SportsCenter today. The team that Jimmy Butler wants to go to is the LA Clippers.
He'd like to play for the Clippers, whether he gets there in a trade now or free agency this summer, when the Clippers will be able to sign two max players and you have a marketplace that includes potentially Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving. This is a star-studded 2019 class. And the idea of partnering with a player to go into a team like the Clippers, in a, you know, he spends a lot of his offseason in LA, is very appealing to him.
Great. Just what we need. Another super team forming in the West. Fantastic. Can't wait.
Two max spots. And that's the thing about, like, when you look at the West, like, you know, who could the Suns start pushing past? Well, you know, if Minnesota loses Butler, they still got Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. So they still got two good players and Tom Thibodeau as the coach. If the Clippers, you know, they just lost Deontay. In the last year, they've lost Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. Okay, they're supposed to take a step back now. Well, if they add Jimmy Butler and they've got two max contracts available and they're able to lure somebody else, well, then maybe that becomes a team that's harder. So you just, I'm always looking for who can the Suns beat out in the West. And
yep,
if things shuffle around, because there's so many great players in the West, that LeBron's in the West now, right, on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Although maybe the Lakers could be bad for a few more years. They're not. Now, if Jimmy Butler switches teams, I don't think that Minnesota takes a little bit of a step back, but they still have some good young talent with Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota becomes very intriguing because they do still have some good players, and I don't know where they would fall in that pecking order. And I understand what you're looking at the short term by, you know, trying to figure out how they can be a playoff team next year. Man, I'm looking at the big picture where I'm thinking about, you know, as I always do, the next great Phoenix Suns team, and
yes,
hopefully we're getting close to that. The LA Clippers,
hopefully,
the LA Clippers potentially could be a serious impediment to the next great Phoenix Suns basketball team. I mean, if Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard decide to go there, I mean, the word out of Toronto, and this is just, you know, rumors that I'm reading on the internet, but the word out of Toronto is that that's where Kawhi Leonard wants to go. So now if you've got a Kawhi Leonard-Jimmy Butler duo in L.A.,
right,
you have a LeBron James and fill-in-the-blank duo in L.A., you still have the last remnants of Golden State, you still have Houston. Utah's an up-and-coming team. I mean, oh, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course, with Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, so you start looking around the West and
Damian,
you go,
Lillard and C.J. McCollum in Portland.
Forget making the playoffs in a year or two. When are you going to be great? And who are you going to be competing against when you're great? That scares me to death as a Suns fan.
You know, a lot of this is taking it's taking the eyes off of the real prize. Man, the Suns need a point guard. Like, they got to get a point guard. So, like, this Jimmy Butler talking, I know it's great because he's, you know, he's a star player. But they got a lot of guys, you know, it would be nice to have Jimmy Butler. You're going to have to pay him $190 million, and what would you have to give up for him? I mean, that's all got to be in consideration. And they're not one of the teams on his list right now. But you still think that, man, camp is starting on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your point guard? Like, you cannot go into this season with the Kobo Melton and Isaiah Cannon. You can't.
No.
I mean, so,
especially when you're starting the season with Devin Booker hurt, who might have handled some of the point guard duties for you if he's going to miss the first week or two of the season.
Now, you don't want to overpay for any of the, you know, the guys that I've mentioned, Corey Joseph, Spencer Dinwiddie, Patrick Beverley. You don't want to overpay for those guys. Like, to me, those guys, They're not worth the first round. I wouldn't give up a first round pick for those guys. I'd give up a second. But for those teams, they might be like, well, I'm not going to give them up for a second. That was a second. So it's kind of like, because let's be honest. If you trade, whoever you're trading for, if it's Dinwiddie, if it's Beverly, or if it's Joseph, it's very unlikely. That guy is not your next great Suns point guard.
No.
Okay, he's not.
No.
He's a stopgap, come in, fix it for a short time. Do I want to give up a first-round pick for that?
But you're highlighting that the limit the Suns organization is facing right now. I mean, because these teams, you know, these teams know this, right? These teams look at the Suns roster and go, okay, who's your point guard? Yeah, we're going to hold out for a first-rounder. We're going to,
because I mean, the Milwaukee picker, you're not getting him.
Because eventually, I'm betting you're going to crack. I'm betting you're going to crack and you're going to call us and you're going to offer, and who knows, maybe it's a lottery protected first round pick. Maybe it's a pick that's got additional protections on it to help out the Suns, depending on what happens. But I'm betting these teams are holding out that the Suns are going to eventually give in.
The other thing
is, and collapse and say, we need one so bad, we'll give you your first round pick.
Do we not forget how horrific the injury to Isaiah Cannon was? The broken leg, it was a horrific
injury. I'm surprised people
are
counting on him as much as they. I'm surprised
because
his name is mentioned. I know, but given that he's coming back from the injury, I'm surprised his name comes up as often as it does as, well, here's guys who could play point guard for the Phoenix Suns. I'm surprised we keep talking about Isaiah Cannon. That injury was gruesome. Is he really ready to come back from that?
There might be somebody else that they could look to trade for that I don't know about. I've mentioned the players that I know they've had discussions, you know, about and with some of these teams. But to me, it's like everybody reports on Tuesday. All camps start Tuesday, and you're going to start. And Ryan McDonough, when he made the trade for Brandon Knight, when he traded Brandon Knight, it was like, okay, I still have 30 days before I got to get a point guard. I got time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 30 days. 30 days is now down to 4.
Yeah.
It's down to, you're down to 4 days now. So 26 of those days have gone. You're down to 4.
You and I had a conversation in the car the other day when we were driving out to one of our road shows, and it was about this idea that we put forth kind of after the draft and after free agency. Hey, the Suns better improve this year, right? The Suns better be better. They better have more wins. We talked about 10 wins better. Well, that was all before the Brandon Knight trade. Now, you can say what you want about Brandon Knight and whether you like him as a player or not, but that glaring hole that is now left at the point guard position makes me wonder whether it's fair to ask this team to be 10 wins better than they were a year ago. We were saying those things about the Suns.
I'm sticking with it.
Before the Knight deal. You're still sticking with
it? I'm sticking with it.
Even though Isaiah Cannon could be your starting point guard on opening day. Shaq Harrison could be your starting point guard on opening day. You still demand that this team be 10 wins better than they were a year ago?
If not, then head's got to roll. You're going to have to fire guys. If you can't improve by 10 wins, then there's got to be massive.
So the expectation level clearly has not changed for you at all after the Brandon Knight trade.
You added two veteran players that can space the floor and shoot. You got Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza.
But you don't like one of them.
Ryan Anderson at all. I think he's maybe the worst defensive player in the NBA. I mean, you can't keep him on. I mean, in all of the Houston playoff games, and they went 3 series, they had to take him off the court because he can't guard anybody. He literally can't guard anybody.
And that's why I'm thinking maybe you should dial back your expectations of the team a little bit and not continue to insist on 10 wins.
DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick in the draft, the development of the, you know, everybody is a year older and more mature. I mean, Josh Jackson should be better. Devin Booker should be better. I got the number one pick in the draft. I mean, if you can't improve by, it's not like you're trying to go from 50 wins to 60. You won like 21. How many games did they win last year? 22?
Two.
Something like that. I mean, let me see what the season is. I can't even remember. I think it was like 21 wins.
I can't remember. I'll look.
Yeah.
I'll look.
You have to win 10 games. You have to get to 30.
22? Yeah, it was 22.
Get to
21.
You can't get to 31 wins? You know what 31 wins? That's still 51 losses. Okay? 31 wins equals 51 losses. You lost 50 games. That sucks. I'm not asking for a lot. 30 wins, 31 wins, or you know what? If I'm Robert Sarver, I'm like, okay, this direction that we're going in is not working. You have to have it. I'm not saying make the playoffs, but if you can't improve by 10 games.
And your wife won't let you teach math to your kids. The outrage.
Fourth grade math. I mean,
You got
some sad
31
day.
Wins equals 51 losses. That to me says you're perfectly
I am
capable
better
of teaching
on math.
Your kids math.
I am better than you at math on the fly.
Well, no, I've decided. I have a theory that the same side of my brain that I use to host a talk show is the same side that I do math with.
Oh, you can't do two at the same time.
I can't do two things. I can't do that same thing at the same time because it's the same hemisphere of my brain. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
So my brain's not big enough to have two sides. So I just have like one area that like everything kind of goes in.
You don't have a left hemisphere. You don't have a right hemisphere.
Brain's not big enough for two sides.
You just have a hemisphere. You just have one brain.
It's smaller than everybody else's. That's why I can't do fourth grade math. That was a sad day a couple weeks ago when my wife said, hey, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to help the kids with their homework anymore, homework.
You might want to save that little clip of audio and give that to JV. Let's see if we can't turn that into a rejoin. That was Gambo's got one brain. I mean, we all have one brain, but you're saying you don't have two sides to your brain. Mm. It's just one.
That's why I can do math on the fly and you can't.
Exactly. An involuntary lobotomy.
51 losses. That's a terrible season.
Okay.
To lose 50 games is an awful season.
I'm just giving
him an awful season, but damn it, you better win more. You better win at least 10 more games.
I'm just giving you the option to recalibrate your expectations after the
Brandon Knight. Are you recalibrating? I'm not. Jordan, are you recalibrating expectations?
I don't know if they're going to be 10 wins better. I've just got to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to be 10 wins better.
I think 10 wins better is the absolute ceiling. So, I mean, if they get it, maybe.
Who's their starting point guard? Yeah. Without a true, clear starting point guard, I don't know how this team can be 10 wins
whose
better.
Whose fault is it that they don't have a starting point guard?
Well, okay, that's a different conversation, though. All right, that's if they don't get to 10 wins better, heads still may roll, and you're absolutely right. There's fault. There's blame to be had for that.
Right.
I just to
so
think
if they don't get to 10 wins better, it's because we didn't have a point guard. Well, whose fault is that?
That's a fair comeback. Yeah. I got nothing for that. They are two of the biggest weapons for the Arizona Cardinals, which makes what's happening this season so difficult to accept. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.